B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 5 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. All phone calls this point on. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit GoGUIDA.com. Our last caller, Sly, must have been a New York Nets ABA fan because he gave me two players from that famous Julius Irving team. Young Doc.
Yeah, it's a shame that he couldn't have been Young Doc here.
No, early on he was young Doc. But that New York. You couldn't get the ABA a lot, but when you got it, I loved the ABA.
Locked in.
Oh man, the ABA was exciting. They were flying up and down the court. The Doc was like unbelievable. And I can still remember that starting lineup. Billy Paltz was a big slow center. But they had Julius Irving and Larry Keeney were the forwards. And then their backcourt was tough. Brian Fatty Taylor and Super John Williamson.
I heard of Super John Williamson.
Uh-huh.
I haven't heard
of it. That was a squad. Oh, Doc flying down court.
That is a squad. Would you be on board with this real fast, Mike? It's at the Phillies games. Hypothetically. Hypothetically, would you be on board? So for $89, you can have your likeness as a cardboard cutout in the stands for the game.
Yeah, I was reading about that.
But then if a foul ball hits you, you get the ball.
How do you feel?
Are you in or out?
I think the same thing would go for a home.
Are you talking about only behind the plate?
On the sides, anywhere there could be a foul ball.
I got it. No, I don't care about the ball. I care about it being seen on TV.
So I
will only be in if I was in that camera frame behind the plate.
So that's the only one?
Yeah, I don't care about the ball. I want to be able to look at the TV and see my likeness as part of the crowd.
Well, you only get the ball if you pay an extra $40 and get placed into a foul ball zone.
Well, I care about the foul ball.
I've never got any kind of foul ball.
You tell me, I pay $89 to get a seat that's down, like my likeness down the right field line.
Yeah, with those foul balls sit over there. They show it when they'll follow the ball.
The A's are going to do it.
All right.
The A's are already doing it.
The prices should be different. They should be priced accordingly, shouldn't it? If your cardboard cutout is in the center field camera frame on every hitter, that's got to be worth more. Yeah, so it's $89 straight fee.
That's what it appears.
$89 for general fans. There's A's access members. You can get it for $49, and it's $129 for a foul ball zone cutout.
So bring out if they brought that to Philadelphia.
Are you using this money to pay JT Realmuto?
No, this is it. The A's. Would you be on board?
Oh, the Phillies haven't thought of it yet.
Would you be on board if the Phillies decided to do it?
So the A's are doing it. Their proceeds are going to benefit their community fund, so they're going to put it towards charity.
If I was a fan, I would do it. But I would have to be in the camera frame first.
I feel like $89 is a lot.
That's why I'd have to be assured. I'd pay $150 just to get in the camera frame.
Is that for all the games or just for one game? I'm assuming that's for like the year, for the 30 home games.
Yeah.
I'm not paying $89 for one game.
How many people you see all the people that think it's a big thrill to get in the camera frame because they're on their cell phone all game. Because somebody's calling, hey, you're in the camera frame.
Yeah, dude.
So that's a big thing to fans.
For the $89 for the A's, it's for 60. Yeah, for the 60 games.
Yeah,
for all games.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a lot of money for all the games.
I'm curious how would that work in Philly if it rains? Are they going to move all the cardboard cutouts?
They probably make more than one.
You got to have laminated.
Multiple cardboard cutouts.
Yeah,
I'm going to come and place them.
Got to be laminated.
Because I bet you when the foul ball hits, it's going to crush it.
Yeah, but
the foul ball's going to hit it and like break the head off. They'll bring a new one out.
And then what? I guess you find out you're assigned seats so you can look for yourself?
It's got to be laminated that folds. You know, like that laminated material that's like you go bong.
Yeah.
So cardboard's just like
cardboard. Yeah,
it's like not really cardboard.
It can't be cardboard. Like it would have to be laminated to account for the
for the weather.
Yeah.
To weather the elements.
Yeah, it's worth a shot. $89 for 60 games. Yeah, why not? If I'm a fan. I'd do it.
All right.
Henry in Tampa. Henry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
What's up, Henry?
Just hanging in there. I finished my chemo on June 23rd, and I got to go for surgery.
All right. Now, how you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. In there.
Okay. Keep fighting, buddy.
I am. Hey, Mike and Miz, did you check out Yellowstone on Father's Day and this past Sunday?
Yeah, I've been complaining about the first two episodes, Henry.
Yeah,
not exactly float my boat here.
Yeah, I know.
It's a slow sojourn into the main plot. I don't know what's going on in this season.
Me neither.
Except for the fact that the kid Casey is now all about his dad. You know, I liked it when they were enemies.
Yeah. So did I. Hey, Mike, do you remember the Ford Pintos we had out in the 70s?
Yeah, they had a big lawsuit because they blew up. The gas tanks blew up.
I used to have one. I was
You had a Pinto? I had a buddy, Mike, who had a Pinto. And he put an Italia sticker on his trunk.
You remember the customized vans back then?
Customized vans, yeah.
Were you into those kind of things?
No, I wasn't a van. I was not a van man.
Yeah, I was a van man. I like vans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think the Eagles are going to do with this rookie quarterback? Are they going to use him?
Your guess is as good as mine, bro. You talking about Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I assume they'll use him in some kind of packages, but I wouldn't expect to see a lot of them.
Me neither. And Tyrone, you've done a pretty good job. When Mike Miss was on vacation, you did a good job. I'm sorry I couldn't call in. I wasn't feeling good.
That's all right, Henry. You take care of yourself, man. You go through all the proper protocol and stay healthy, all right?
You too, buddy. You working at the studio? You're working from home?
We're in the studio. We've been in the studio.
Are you in the studio? Yeah. All right.
All right, buddy.
God bless you. God bless you. And your family and everybody at the studio. And I'll talk to you guys sometime.
All right.
Next week. Sometime.
All right, buddy. You take care of yourself. So he was a van man. And of course, that's another Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, he didn't want to be a van guy.
The guy who was trying to give it to him. His boyhood friend.
Oh, yeah. That was the Summer George.
His boyhood friend who would hide, dig a hole and hide when he was wounded emotionally.
So Frankie?
Fragile Frankie Merman.
Yeah.
Tasty Cake Dom. What's up, Tasty Cake Dom?
Hey, Mike. When Bob calls and when Henry calls, you're a good man, Mike, for supporting them. I pray for them both.
Yes, they're good people.
And also, you getting Special K and the Whopper, man, that's a long time. I don't remember the Whopper as men. I remember the Whopper with Moses' backup, and then I think he played for San Antonio as well.
Yeah, he did. The Whopper had the kind of like the mop hair. He had a mop hair, like straight stringy mop hair. The Whopper.
He wasn't as talented as Bill.
He couldn't play at all.
He was goonish, right, Mike?
Yes.
He was kind of goonish.
Yeah, but they had Doc. And Larry Keene was a good player. Yeah. That NBA Nets team, they won two championships with Doc, I think.
Yes. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Mike, when you talk about Moses' departure,
mm-hmm.
are you lumping Roy Henson?
Yeah, I said Moses' transition. So the transition was twofold. It was the ruling part of it, Moses there for ruling and Cliff Robinson, and then it was the trade of number one pick, so they gave Roy Henson from the Cavs.
That's supposed to be Brad Daugherty and Charles next to each other for 10 years.
Yeah, and Charles can't forget it either. Charles breaks it up every time.
It's hard for me to forget, Mike. I mean,
yeah, they botched the whole thing. The whole transition was botched. Every stem of it was botched.
And, Mike, if you get Andrew Toney right away to a foot doctor, possibly 87-88, you got Brad Daugherty, Charles Barkley, and Andrew Toney.
You know what's funny about that? That dude was such a killer, and yet they thought he was malingering when he was complaining about his foot. Like, it was a total conflict on his character. Because when he played, he was a killer. Yeah, so why would he like invent a foot problem?
Right. So if they address that correctly right away, and you got those three guys playing, I mean,
yeah, they said there was nothing wrong with his foot. I hear you, bro. That was a very uncomfortable era of Sixer basketball.
Uncomfortable. Mike, you and Ty and that do such a great job. Thank you.
All right, Tasty Game Dom. Thank you. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, the whole thing was botched. That left the Sixers bereft for, you think about bad years. All right, so that happened in 85 or 86. 86, 87, 88. 89, 90, 91, 92, 90. There was like a 10-year. Then that was Dana Barros, was early 90s. And they were scuffling around. Willie Burton, the Willie Burtons of the world, the Dana Barros of the world.
Yeah, they did win a division sometime after that with Mahorn and Barkley.
Okay.
They did win a division somewhere in there after that.
The thump and bump years. Who else is on that team?
Jaminski was on that squad. The guy that died on the boat his son ended up playing at Duke. Smith was on that squad.
Oh, Derek Smith.
Yeah, he was on that squad. And Rod Anderson was on that squad.
Oh, I like Derek bench. Smith. He was tough.
Yeah, he was tough at the knee, but he was still tough. He was on that squad. They won a division. I remember they beat the Pistons in a regular season game to clinch it.
Yeah, I forgot about that team.
So somewhere in there, they won a division.
All right.
They weren't real contenders, but they did win the Atlanta.
Yeah, you're right. Johnny Dawkins, right?
Yeah, I believe in Hersey.
Yeah. All right, let's go Mike and Hamilton. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Mike?
I'm an Oakland A's fan, and I got a story from the early 70s.
Uh-huh.
Me and a bunch of my buddies took a bus trip up to Yankee Stadium for a doubleheader. And Catfish was pitching the first game. And you sit down and you're surrounded by Yankee fans and they're screaming that Catfish ain't that good and Catfish stinks and this and that. So I say to one of the guys, I said, listen, if you're going to get the Catfish, you got to get him within the first two innings. Because if he gets in a groove, you're done. And of course, Catfish wins the first game. So now they're all mad. Get to the second game, and before it starts, now they start to talk about the Yankee starting pitcher, Sudden Sam McDowell. And they start chirping about Sudden Sam's going to get him. Sudden Sam will get him. Well, leadoff hitter, Bert Campaneris, comes out. First pitch that McDowell throws, Campaneris jerks it out of the park. And with that, my buddy stands up and says, and suddenly it's 1-0. And man, it was on after that. What a fight.
You know what's really funny? I went on a bus trip to Yankee Stadium to see the A's also. And I think it was just coincidental. There was an organized bus trip in my little town. And I wanted to go on it because they were playing Oakland, but nobody else on the trip cared. They wanted to go to Yankee Stadium, see the Yankees. And I wanted to go because it was my first chance to see Reggie Jackson. And I got a obstructed view seat. The old Yankee Stadium had the beams, and my seat was behind one of the beams. So I'm like doing this the whole time. And Reggie Jackson had a home run.
You couldn't see
it. It might have been his rookie year, actually. Dave, I saw it because I was like, small enough to wriggle around the beam. Dave in Center City, what's up, Dave?
Yeah, I think Dagberto Campaneris, when he was traded to Texas, one of only two players that performed every position in a game.
Bert Campaneris also hit somebody with a bat?
That I don't recall.
I think he had a bat episode also.
Oh, wow. Oh, that guy Sly is right on. Ratliff was an athlete, and that Sixers team only had two athletes, Allen and Jumaine Jones. They got rid of an athlete, so he was down. Oh, Mike and Miss, we're going to have fun with your hitting streak.
You're probably going to stump me today because they got me on Gus Williams.
No. Who, the Wizard?
Yeah, the Wizard.
Yeah,
I came up small on the Wizard.
But I want to talk about something. I am, and my sources haven't gotten back to me yet. This Goddard thing is really, that should not have happened. There was a right turn taken somewhere. Mikey Miss, when Lindros used to go out, not only would Keith Jones pick up his tab, but he would do all his bidding for him. In the old days of Polo Bay, and you were there, when Gooden, Strawberry, and Dugster would come into the club, they always had Bob O'Heed and Mackie Sasser with them. One day, Mackie Sasser was going to grip me up. And Dugster goes, oh, well, I know that guy. Get away
from
me.
Wait a minute. Mackie Sasser's going to smack you? What did you do? But you must have been a bad guy, man.
Mackie Sasser wanted
to knock you out for what reason?
I was getting too close to Dugster and Strawberry. And Dugster goes, I know this guy. And so Goddard getting... That made no sense. Him getting sucker punched, him getting laid out. Where was his crew at?
Dave, you're too much, man.
You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
When Bob Lanier left the Bucks, they couldn't beat the Celtics in Sixers, so they moved on. They brought in a three-headed monster at center. Now, if you feel comfortable guessing all three, you can. If you feel comfortable guessing only one,
give me
you
all
can.
Three. What the hell?
But if you miss,
I'd break my streak. Okay.
All right. I'm going to give you a three. Okay. One gentleman, 6'11", Alton Lister, 7'1", Paul McKeskey, and 7'3", Randy Brewer, spelled B-R-E-W.
I'm going to knock your socks off. All right,
go ahead.
First one was who?
Alton Lister.
Arizona State.
Correct.
Paul McKeskey.
Yes.
I'm going to say...
No, you don't have to answer it, Mike.
No, I'm going to say, because I know all three of them. Kansas.
Correct.
And what's the third one?
Randy Brewer.
Minnesota.
Your hidden streak is...
Unbelievable. Bang.
So
all right, brother. See you later. All right, now, Burt Campaneris did throw a bat. I just looked it up. He helicoptered a bat at a pitcher.
All right.
He was in the batter's box. The guy came close to him with a pitch. And he went out, whoosh, and he fired the bat. It went like this. And the pitcher had to duck out of the way.
You know what?
He was fiery, Burt Campaneris.
And that's an eye for an eye. He's throwing a ball at my head. Catch this bat, then.
Well, I don't know if he actually threw at him, but it was close enough.
Yeah.
And Bert was a Cubano, I believe.
Oh, well.
Latino temper. He fired the helicoptered it. You can see it on YouTube. I bet you they have it on YouTube somewhere.
I'll see if I can find it.
Gene in Colorado. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Michael, how you doing?
What's up, Gene?
Not a whole lot. Listen, I want to talk to you about cars, but first, can I talk to you about the Lindros stuff?
Sure.
I did the Colorado Times. Mm-hmm. And what we lost is we lost Forsberg. We lost a pick, which was Adam Dedmars, which was an extremely awesome defenseman. And you also forget that we lost two first-round picks that turned into Patrick Wah, and then turned into two cups.
Patrick Wah,
No, it was in the draft picks. It was.
All right, so like, you're telling me that at the time, you did not want the most dynamic player to come into the league in years.
No, listen, I was stationed, I was doing, I was out in Colorado at the time. I did the Desert Storm thing. Mm-hmm. I was out there, and I was loving it. I was like, yeah, we got this beast. I got row 5, row 9, a couple years, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. and the black and all that stuff with LeClaire. But no, I would rather have Forsberg, Dedmars, and Patty Wah in two cups.
What? Wait, hold a sec. We're getting the fact checker on Wah. Now, he's saying that one of the draft picks that they had to give up turned into Patrick Wah.
Correct.
That's what you're saying?
Correct.
Yeah, they traded for him.
No. They traded, but those turned into it when Patty told the general manager to go F himself on the ice after that game. You remember?
Wait a minute. Hold a second. This caller is saying, Gene is saying that of the draft picks that were involved from Quebec that they received from the Flyers, that they used one of those to take Patrick Waugh.
No,
is that correct?
No,
it's not
wrong.
Correct.
He was drafted in 1984.
There you go.
No, you're wrong. Where are you, Patrick Waugh? Him. They traded the pick for him.
No, no, Patty was drafted by Montreal, but it was in a trade.
In 1984. I'm looking at it. He was drafted in 1984. That's long before Lindros.
Yeah, bad info, G.
No, 1984. No, Tyrone, you're wrong.
Patrick Waugh was drafted in 1984. I'm telling you.
84 in Desert Storm. That's like 5 years later. You're confused, sir.
He's got it right in front of him. Patrick
I'm
Waugh.
I'm literally reading it. He was drafted at ninth in the third round, 51st overall in the 1984 NHL draft. If you're saying that they moved the draft pick for a while, that's different.
No, Tyrone, what I'm telling you is they took the, when Philadelphia gave draft picks, that they gave that to Montreal and then got Patrick Waugh to Quebec. Is what I'm telling you. That's how it worked out.
Oh, Patrick. Well, why did Patrick Waugh go from Montreal to Quebec? What did that have to do with the Flyers trade?
Because they left him in for a seven shot shutout, and they wouldn't take him off. And you don't remember that, Mike?
Wait a minute. I'm trying to tie in Patrick Waugh with the Flyers trade.
Well, no, I'm going to Quebec with.
I don't understand what he was trying to say there.
If he says that they used the draft pick acquired to get Patrick Waugh, if that's true, fine. But they did not take the draft pick and draft Patrick Waugh. That's physically impossible because he was in the league before Lindros.
Here's the revisionist history. No way. The revisionist history is that the Flyers would have been better off not getting Lindros. However, because Forsberg did have a great career, he played with a great team, and but at the time that you're doing it, you're thinking that you're grabbing the like a player who's going to redefine the game, and so from that standpoint, you can't then look at it with revisionist history and say they would have been better off, because that's not a choice. The choice was to have this once-in-a-lifetime player. That's the only thing you needed to know. So if it didn't turn out, and it didn't turn, it turned out, believe me, it turned out, but it didn't turn out to a Stanley Cup champion. But it was an era that was fantastic in Philadelphia Flyer history. Watch that guy.
I also have the trade in front of me where he went from Montreal to Colorado.
Okay.
It's Andre Kovalenko, Rusinski, and to Balt for Keenan and Waugh.
Okay, so there wasn't a draft pick involved.
Not according to what I'm reading right here from NHL Trade Tracker for history of every trade.
See, that might be like one of those urban legends.
Guys were a draft pick that year. Let me, I don't know.
It's possible that, it's like Sally down the lane, right? The more you talk about it, and not only that, but Waugh was somehow, you padded up to make it more catastrophic.
Yeah, maybe they threw in a draft pick in their trade, and maybe that was the big reason. But
I never heard that part of it.
Waugh had hundreds of wins before that trade.
Yeah.
Like, he is the all-time winner's goalie. He was the all-time winner's goalie at the end of his career.
He didn't go to Quebec. He went to Colorado,
was Quebec.
Yeah, but he never
played for Quebec.
Never played for Quebec.
No, he went from Montreal to Colorado and then stayed.
Colorado had changed over from Quebec Nordiques.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe there was a draft pick that they used in that.
To make the trade.
Right, to make the trade.
But they did not draft him with the Lindros picks.
I think that's what
he's
saying. I think the caller was saying that draft pick somehow was involved with Patrick Waugh going to Colorado.
So why not just say that? Why do you make it so complicated?
I don't know.
Just say they used the draft pick to acquire them. That's easy. Right. We can all figure that out.
A couple of open lines. If you want to climb, no sound up today. So we'll take your calls until we get out of here. It's 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, you can cry poor now, but yeah, you can cry poor during the life of the contract. Final Twitter poll numbers. Brought to us by Paul B. Moore & Sons. If you need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moore & Sons has it all. Just order online at paulbmoore.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown, PA. And our Twitter poll is about JT. Natalie?
Thanks, Mike. Over 900 votes on this one today. Are you confident the Phillies and JT Realmuto will come to an agreement? 51% say yes, 49% say no.
All right. The only sport we haven't done today on the where we did we go wrong, we haven't done the Phillies yet.
All right.
So what pops? If most of them are like, you remember bad trades.
Yes.
What pops for you?
One that pops for me is waiting too long to break up the 08 championship
team. Oh, okay.
That was the first in my mind, too.
That's a good one.
Because to me, if you do that earlier, your odds of getting a better prospect back is better, and maybe now Harper has help.
Mm-hmm.
You got a center fielder who's a star or, you know, something else. So to me, that one jumps out. Von Hayes was a mistake.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
What do you mean?
It was, but it wasn't. Because when they got Von Hayes, they gave up what they thought. They gave up one player.
Okay.
Who was the highly touted minor leaguer, Julio Franco, who was a shortstop in their chain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was the year they got him. They went to the World Series. The year they got Von Hayes, they went to the World Series. So they gave up crap. Like Jay Bowler, a pitcher, and a catcher named Willard. And they gave up Trio, but Trio was in his 30s then, and Juan Samuel was the next second baseman up.
Right.
So they got a guy who they thought was going to be a star caliber outfielder for an unknown in Franco. A Manny Trio who was 32, Jay Bowler, Jerry Willard, and who was the fifth guy in that deal? Who was the other guy in that deal? Damn, I can't remember. But at the time, like Hayes actually did not have a bad career here. When you look at his numbers, I think he hit like 275. And he had an on-base percentage of like 350. And he hit over 100 home runs here. And he stole a lot of bases, actually.
All right. Yeah.
So, the other guy was the spare outfielder, George Vukovich. So they gave up one guy who turned out to be a guy who would be a star in the American League and wound up playing 23 years. I don't know if anybody could have predicted that.
Yeah. All right.
And he most of the time he was a DH in that league, Julio Franco. But he was the plum of the whole deal.
Gotcha. All right.
So I know everybody looks at the 5-for-1, but four of it was crap.
All right.
That they gave up.
What'd you think about JD Drew?
Yes.
That's a mistake.
Terrible mistake. They drafted him knowing that Boras was asking for a certain price.
Right.
And they thought that because they drafted him, he would never sit out a season. And that's what he did.
And
that was a horrible miscalculation.
Goes back in and then he gets his money. And then even if he doesn't become a star, like he never became a super duper star, you still wasted a high, high draft pick for nothing.
Yes.
So it's still
And I don't
works.
Know how much better he would have made. Like he would probably been in the minor leagues for a year, but then they had another number one pick the next year. So right. They could have had JD Drew and Pat Burrell.
And Burrell was good. Burrell worked out. He was good.
Yeah.
Not a star, but he was good.
Right.
I think make oh go ahead. No, go
what
ahead.
What about Scott Rolen? how that went down.
Got Polanco back, and who else in that trade? I remember it was Polanco.
That was beyond their control,
okay.
I think, because he talked his way out. Because
he wanted a trade?
Yeah, he wanted out. And so, like, they knew it was a mistake, but they were backed into a corner. Like, the guy didn't want to be here anymore.
I thought it was a mistake to make him the cornerstone of the franchise in real time. I was like, this guy's not a lead dog in a city like this.
I don't know that guy. I don't know what happened to that guy, because he came up. He was a sweetheart of a guy. He really was, and all of a sudden he turned evil.
Yeah, and he just
what happened to that guy?
And they were pushing him like he was like. And I understand he was the best player.
Yeah,
But he was not the guy. He repelled me.
Yeah,
as the lead guy, he repelled me.
He turned bad. Like because I was there that whole thing.
Right.
He was such a humble, like, you know, glad to be here type of guy. And then all of a sudden he turns to a werewolf.
And when he sat out Scott Rowland Day, I'm in the crowd at the vet. Yeah. And everybody's like, cut, because they did the announcement and everything. And they were begging him to come out to do the little tip of the cap. And it took about 20 minutes, it felt like, to just come up and tip your cap so we can get back to the game. I'm mad at you anyway.
Yeah, he was a big mystery. Jeff and Camden joins us. Oh, Jeff, what do you got today for us?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
What's up, Jeff? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, man. So basically, I just want to ask. If they don't get this deal done with Romuto, is that a fireable offense? Can we be finally done?
Well, if they don't get the deal done with Realmuto, it's at the owner's behest. So I don't know why he would fire a guy. The owner's got the control here. Klentak is got going. Why would Klentak care how much he pays the guy?
The GM makes ultimately the decision, right?
Yeah, but he does. Like, he's going, listen, he calls the owner. He goes, listen, he wants $23 million. The owner goes, either yes or no, right? There's one thing of general manager trying to get the best price possible, but the general manager can't lose the guy. The owner is the guy who loses the guy, because he's the one not willing to pay the freight.
But isn't he at the point where if he doesn't pull off a miracle, he's gone? Do you consider him somebody who's done enough to keep his job if we lose a player like this?
No. It wouldn't be this deal that cancels him out. Because that Middleton has control over it. We're talking about right now how the owners are trying to button this whole thing down. And so there might be a tacit agreement between owners not to spend that kind of money on free agents, especially now when they didn't have a season of revenue, true revenue.
Well, Mike, thanks for turning me and ruining my night, because he's a stinky GM, and I'm reaching for straws because I want him gone. I want him gone.
I get you.
All right, man.
I hear you. I don't know, like, Klentak, I guess, is trying to be a slick general manager. But I can't imagine, like, he's got control of this situation. Like, the final control. The owner's got to sign that check. So if the owner is willing to sign the check, there's no reason for Klentak to fight it. Unless he's just trying to protect the owner's interest right now.
Which he might be being a public face. I do think that point, though, is why he kind of highlights Jeff's point. Your point highlights his, in that all the moves he's made so far that are good have just been Middleton's money.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for something he did to work out, because now he makes this trade for this catcher.
Yeah.
If they don't pay him, that doesn't look savvy, because it's not like they have enough pitching. Like, you never have enough pitching. So maybe Sanchez is coming up right now to the majors on your team. Like, nothing he's done. The Harper signing, that's not him. Like, I'm still waiting for his signature move other than, hey, Mr. Middleton, can you write a check?
Yeah, I got you. But then there's that McPhail thing lurking.
When
that middleman dude comes in on this whole thing.
If we sign him, we sign him. If we don't, we don't. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he's somewhere sitting there smoking a cigar and a sweater vest saying that too.
All right, a patch elbow blazer.
Oh, there you go.
Are you putting, since you loathed the last manager of the squad?
Yes.
Is he getting on your list?
No,
where did we go wrong? You're not putting Kapler on the list?
Nah, because the team still stunk. He didn't make it better, but
the first nice thing you've ever said about Kapler.
He didn't make it worse. The team still stunk.
All right. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5:46. A few more minutes to take some calls here on Mike Missinelli Show. Announcement just made. Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. 2020 season canceled.
Sad.
Boom. Over. That Well, that means Boehm and Howard have to be on this team.
Yeah, they will be.
Yeah, so that hurts your boy, though. Your boy, center field prospect, Mickey Moniak.
Yeah, no, it's murder for a lot of guys. And Moniak's one of those guys who has been, despite it hasn't been at the rate, he has been better each season. He has gotten better each year.
Yeah, other than that, there's not a guy it hurts. There's not.
Not a catcher it hurts. They got a catcher prospect that they like.
Oh,
it
hurts. Was he going to play AAA this year?
I think so, yeah. I think they like him.
Okay.
At least as a trade ship.
I probably heard Sam. I don't know if he was ready for AAA yet.
Yeah, but it hurts a lot of employees. And the Phillies are still going to pay those guys $400 a week through September. So good on Middleton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Many other teams will not even pay that $400 a week. And they were talking about what that would add up to is like paying these guys like less than $2 million. These billionaires not paying two. And then I'm supposed to feel bad for them. Like, this is what I mean. Like, no matter how bad the players are, like the A's, I don't think they're paying any of their guys, for example. And that guy has got the building this year for free. Like, his stadium, even if there had been fans, he made a deal with Oakland to get the stadium for free.
Is that guy still the owner? The guy from Moneyball is still the owner of that team?
No, I think it's a newer owner.
It's a new owner?
And he's not paying anybody. Like, he fired all his minor leagues. Mm-hmm. None of them get a check. $400.
That's no good. Jeff and Ben Salem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, so I got two for the Phillies here. First, in 2009, they declined a trade for Roy Halladay because the Blue Jays wanted Dominic Brown in that trade, and the Phillies refused to do it. So they could have had both Cliff Lee and Roy Halladay in 2009. And then the second one is drafting Jeff Jackson in 1989 over Frank Thomas.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of draft mistakes that they've made over the years.
Yeah.
A few other teams miss on Frank Thomas, too, I guess.
Yeah, he went, I believe, number 6 or 7. So, yeah, 6 or 7.
Yeah, they went with a high schooler. That's when, they weren't drafting as many college players back then.
Yeah, no, a lot of high school players.
Yeah.
Ben McDonald.
They thought that was the way to go, the high school route.
Mm-hmm.
Ben McDonald was the number one pick. He went to LSU. He was a college guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. LSU. Okay. All right, Jeff.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, buddy. Let's go, Larry in Boise, Idaho. What's up, Lar?
Hey, guys. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're safe and sound. I got some inside dope on John Hightower from Boise State before I get into my baseball field.
All right, of course, that's the wide receiver and everybody like that, but the big speed.
He's a keeper. He's smooth. He's Mike Quick, Art Monk smooth. He makes you look easy. And that's the way he plays. That's what he's all about. And he's quick. He's under 4.3, I'll bet you, because he was a track star.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently had some issues this year with the combine and all that stuff. But this kid is a find. And
I hope you're right. I just didn't see a lot of production. But he didn't catch that many balls for all this ability.
They had quarterback issues this year.
Uh-huh.
They thought that the starter was going to be more than he was. In fact, he changed him midway. They even went after a kid for next year, a kid that left USC because he wasn't playing. So, to me, it's a little like that Jalen Reagor stuff where he was governed by the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll keep our eye on Hightower. Everybody's excited about the speed number.
Ed Wade. Should have never let him leave town.
Should never let who leave town?
Ed Waid.
You should have never let Ed Waid leave town?
Ed Waid.
What?
When he parted with the Phillies? When he parted?
Yeah. He wasn't that held in that high esteem when he was fired.
I think he knows he's a big baseball guy.
Now, as it turned out, he was the Rollins Utley Howard guy. So, yeah, right. His legacy was okay. But he wasn't held in high esteem at that time when they fired him.
Well, I don't know.
He made a bad trade with Schilling. Horrible trade.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah, because he didn't.
How about Mickey Moniak?
What about him?
What's he doing? He's hitting. He's not even at Double A.
Yeah, Mickey Moniak won't see him no more. Well, yeah, won't see him no more this year. So Mick has to go back into the lab.
Paul won't see him no more.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever see Mick.
Yeah, we will.
You going to see Mick?
Yeah, we're going to see
Mick.
Still
got high hopes for him, huh?
I don't know about high hopes. I think he's going to play in the major leagues.
You still hold on to him.
I think he's going to play in the major leagues.
You do, huh?
I honestly do. He's gotten better. The rate has been, and he's gotten better in the second half of seasons. And I think physically he's gotten a lot stronger. I think he was a little frail. A lot frail, I think.
Haseley jumped ahead of him, though.
Yeah.
What are you going to do now?
Well, Haseley.
Your other boy's in his way.
Well, Haseley. Listen, Quinn's not going to be able to stay healthy. My man Haseley going to be playing every day.
Well,
Quinn's going to pull a hammy.
I can't wait to watch him every day.
Every day.
Rob in Downingtown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Rob? How you doing?
Good. I got one question for you, Mike. What do you think with the football season? I think that it's going to start, but it don't go past Thanksgiving.
You might be right. I don't know what to say, bro. I have no idea what this NFL and the protocol and how you're going to try to keep it together. Your guess is as good as mine. You might be right.
I think with just the traveling, I think that's going to kill them.
There's a lot of loose ends here with this football season. But the NFL is like, they don't seem to be panicking.
Mike, I got two quick stories.
Yes.
I grew up in Stamford, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest brother was a Yankee fan. I'm a Mets fan, and my oldest sister was a Boston Red Sox fan. Uh-huh. Imagine having a mom.
Yeah, that's not good. That's a lot of scraps in that family.
And I love the 60s and 70s, man. Those were the teams.
Uh-huh.
And then this one story I got, Easter Sunday, 1969, we come back from church, and it's just snowing just enough to get the roads wet. We ask our parents, can we go out and just play two-handed touch? My mom was 5'2", my dad's 6'4". And my dad goes to me, if you get dirty, don't come home. My first play, we're playing two-hand touch in the middle of the road. My first play, I slip on ice. I'm wearing a light blue suit with white shoes. I split my ass, down the ice seam of my pants, go home, and my mom's jaw just dropped, and she calls my dad.
Oh, no, that's bad stuff. That's no good. See, if I'm 6'4", I'm out on 5'2". I know, I'm sure that was a happy, family relationship and everything. 6'4", 5'2".
Shocked how much that happens in the NBA.
5'2"?
Oh, yeah. So it happens way more than you think.
That's unnatural.
All right.
It is, man.
It happens a lot.
I guess the genitals still line up.
Correct.
6'1".
There you have it.
All right, we're out. And stay tuned. Devon Givens takes over for me right here on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philadelphia. SNC special. Return to play the Sixers. And then Flyers Maple Leafs from November. Have a great rest of the night, everybody. Be safe. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.